would love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband, automatically deleted. But, again, be of good cheer. This is being recorded, and we'll be online shortly. Happy birthday, Jack. One of the things, you know, long ago, I was trying to keep abreast of a lot of things that was happening, you know, in the world stage, in technology, in a little bit of politics, a little bit of science, things of that nature. And when I ended up with a lady that I love and adore, and then we had a stack of kids, literally, because I remember we had that rack and we put our kids in the rack, took a picture of them. We did that at Meadowview once, and we did that somewhere else where we... Anyway, it was fun. It's nice to have a stack of kids. It's fun. But anyway, we focus changed a lot. But one of the things that's happened in the last several years is obviously I've gotten back and doing a lot more study on technology. It's less than what others do, but what I do myself. And, politics only in the sense of... understanding kind of what's happening a bit on the world stage, but not issues like I may have in the past. Things like science and whatnot, not on the sensationalism that happens, but on things like, well, as I've discussed, the electric universe, I'm really somewhat fascinated about this SAM, standard atom model, which I find fascinating. But, things like this, some of the study on various things that happen in geology and whatnot, because what is proclaimed and the evidence contradicts. And of course, you know, things about medical science and stuff. So I can probably engage people better than most simply because I've spent a little bit more time and perhaps know where the sources are to find some of this stuff. But one of the other areas that I've been doing, because a few years ago I did a lot of the study on the World Economic Forum, which I've mentioned several times, but especially because of events over the last couple of years, they've really come out strong. And they've been producing a lot of information about what's happening, especially related to COP26, the events in Glasgow, it's concerning. I remember years ago when Clinton was in office and the guy who was Treasury Secretary or something of that nature, was his name Brown or something of that nature? Anyway, I don't remember the name, but I remember the way he talked about the importance of public-private partnerships. So I heard that, and I said, that's a red flag. That's a problem. It's a serious problem. And it's a common line now, especially at the World Economic Forum. I have probably heard it several dozen times in the last week from various speakers. Because what it gives you is the idea that government working with private enterprise, but it's large governments working with large corporations. The purpose behind this is a power grab. Because as I've pointed out, the large corporations and the government are not competitors. They're joined at the hip. as are the religious institutions, joined in a different way to the same thing. But they're joined at the hip. So this public-private partnership is an objective to form the large organization, large corporations, large governments, government enterprises, and so forth, that feed each other. And, you know, it's like it's so often talked about, people within the FDA or something of that nature going into the various industries that they regulate and back and forth. Pharmaceutical industry, same way. Pharmaceuticals, and then, anyway. It's the back and forth kind of thing, because one feeds the other. And the part of the goal is to feed the few large players and get rid of the small players, the family-run enterprises. That is their goal, because, this is basically socialism. So it's form these large entities and regulate the small players out of business. And it's accelerating. The move towards this is accelerating. You know, the all the various things that are coming out of the climate change activists. Fundamental goal is not to change the climate, is to seize power. It really is. A discussion I heard today about, besides the public-private partnership, is the concern about fake news. So the World Economic Forum, when it comes to climate, when it comes to COVID-19 and various things of that nature, they have a big concern about fake news. In other words, fake news means anything that the large institutions don't sanction, anything that points out a flaw. And, you know, so you see this happening. The goal, you know, I mean, you will even hear fairly directly the goal of eugenics within these dialogues, which is kind of more than troubling. But one party recently produced a song, a hymn, based on Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise, with that tune with different words. And the new title of the hymn, because this is Presbyterian pastors, husband-wife pastors, the climate is changing. And I won't rip your stomach out with the first four verses, but the last verse. You love this good earth, and you sent us your Son. May we love our neighbors. There's work to be done. May we, by your Spirit, do all in our power to care for your earth in this critical hour. And the thing I find fascinating about this, they throw in, you sent us your Son, and may we love our neighbor, obviously Leviticus 19, by your Spirit, so we bring in the Holy Spirit, do all in our power, no, not yours, ours, and to take care of your earth. So we're saying, oh, it's your earth, but we got to do the work. This is so deceptive, and it's Christianized. It is sickening. And I wonder how much people in my family will grab onto it. Believe it. Believe that we are destroying the earth. Taking a vaccine helps destroy the earth. There's some things I would agree with on a lot of the, because obviously a lot of people point out, yeah, we have all these people going to this, Glasgow in Scotland, and flying in private jets and living a very fancy life and so forth. And was it President Biden, who apparently now some people call him President Brandon, anyway, when he went to see the Pope and his appearance at COP26, he had an entourage, a caravan of cars, something like 87 cars, I think was the number. We're here to protect the environment. That's why we have this caravan of 87 cars. And we're not talking little tiny Hondas. You know, we're including his, you know, what they call it, the beast, because that thing weighs more than a ton. and, you know, thick doors and all these kind of... Anyway, it's not fuel efficient. Anyway, so it's kind of like we're going to say how important we are and how much we're doing, but we're not going to live it. What's that? They preach, but they do not practice. Where have I read that? Well, that's why I say there's a tie between these institutions and the institution of the church, because it's the same mentality in both. We have that. The institution is so important, and trust your institution. You know, it's like the. There is a real problem because, you know, I've mentioned it before, the use of plastic bags. You know, it was fascinating. Was it in California where, and I think maybe other places, where they outlawed or put a tax or whatever on plastic straws? And it's kind of like, this is kind of, well, it's stupid. Because if I cared, I simply wouldn't use a plastic straw. And one of the big polluters, apparently massive, plastic bags. And like I say, I probably go through one, maybe two dozen plastic bags a year because they will be given to me. Last week, my eggs that I get local were delivered to me in reused plastic bags because normally... I don't have plastic bags because I bring my own bag when I go to the store. So it's one thing to say, look how important I am by regulating you. But it's more important to actually live what others are trying to impose. It doesn't take regulation. It takes the idea of saying, okay, I don't need to. Because when I walk the Greenway or whatnot, and there's the creek right next to it, I see all these plastic bags just floating in there, making a mess, stuck in the trees and whatnot. And I don't want to be a cause of that because it's disgusting. So, you know, it's the idea of practicing what you preach. But, you know, if you're part of the institution, you don't have to do that. You just preach. You don't have to practice. It's in the political world, in the corporate world, and it's the institutional church world. That's why Christ pointed directly to religious leaders when he said that. Anyway, obviously it's Jack's birthday. And I did a happy birthday video to him. And I also got very direct on the obvious subject, the subject of homosexuality. Because it is an abomination. And let me remind you, because what I did is I tried to put all the things that are the blatantly obvious. You know, this I went out to the backyard, and so it was, you know, fairly impromptu, except obviously I went out there with two tablets, one with the camera and one with the Bible on it. It's kind of a strange world we live in. But, you know, went over the Romans 1, the 1 Corinthians 6, and pointed to something else, but also the Revelation 21:8, because my concern is, yes, what Jack's lifestyle choice is horrendous. But well, here, let's go to that verse that I quote and I quote and I quote. Well, Revelation 21:7. This is the LSV. The one who is overcoming will inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. The idea of overcoming, I think is consistent with the idea of enduring to the end. And, one of the things I've pointed out many times is that what does the word Israel mean? It's a prince and basically someone who overcomes. Check it. And that's why I've pointed out Israel has multiple meanings. Jacob was renamed in Israel. One individual. There is no one else besides Jacob who was renamed Israel. It's referred to as descendants. It's the northern kingdom. And I will contend it's the elect. And you have to look in each context and see which is being referred to in Old Testament and New Testament. Because obviously, as I point out, Romans 9:6, all who are descended of Israel, not all who are descended of Israel are Israel. So clearly there are two meanings in there, because otherwise it's logically inconsistent. And the idea that the country called Israel today has anything to do with Scripture, I would suggest, is completely bogus. It's malarkey. It's politics. But the next verse, verse 8. Verse 7 is, this is a good thing. Verse 8, this is not so good thing. But to the fearful, the unsteadfast, the and abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, their part is in the lake burning with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. This is not a pleasant reality. And by the way, it is a reality. And you can write it off if you want. But again, I will contend that the Bible is true. And, the common line, the Bible is true and the institutional church is a fraud. But the fearful and the unsteadfast, fearful, dilos, the cowardly. I am concerned that what my family sees around them are cowards. Blatant cowards. In my discussion with Jack, I do point out the Romans 1 and the comparison with 1 Peter 3:15. The idea of ready to me making defense and you're without excuse, it's basically the same word in the Greek with an A in front of it to complement the word. It's a negation. We're called to make a defense. And if the Romans 1 applies to you, you can't. There's no defense. You have no defense to make. What kind of defense can you make? You can make a defense when in your heart you honor Christ the Lord as holy. That's the only thing you can really count on. I want to get that into somebody in my family. Because what they're surrounded by is a bunch of cowards. Absolute, 100% cowards. And I'm obviously not mincing my words. The religious leadership, including those who are family, who have positions as elders or pastors within the institutional church, who have been addressed over and over again about the veracity of what they proclaim, about the need, the command of Christ to reconcile and so forth, who refuse to acknowledge my existence, are unloving cowards, or as I've also described, cold-hearted killers, using the Bible to point that where that's essentially said directly. I don't want my family to be that way. I have no doubt. I am concerned that many will. It is my hope that some won't. And I am going to proclaim this. I am not going to be a coward. I am going to tell you that Jesus Christ is the creator who stepped into his creation. He is the epitome of truth. He defines what is right and wrong, not me. And not an institution. And not the government. And my trust is in him. And him alone, not the state. I do not turn to the state because that's telling him, I'm sorry, I don't trust you. I can't do that. So many in my family have. Repentance happens. I've done it myself. I welcome others to join me. And if you got to this point, just be aware that I have a couple other things now to do to make, you know, obviously I've done the postcard thing. And that continues. And I have some other things that I'm about to introduce, hopefully by the beginning of next week, to make this a little more broader. Because my hope is someone in my family will say, oh, my dad is a follower of Christ, and I want to follow the Christ he follows. Not the Christ that the institutional church promotes. That is a pseudo-Christ. I want to point them. I want them to say, I want to know this Christ who describes himself in the Bible and trust him. That's my hope for my kids. I can give you the list of names of those who have demonstrated their pragmatism. The trust in the state. I remain hopeful for repentance, as you see on the postcard website, unmitigated hope, especially for my wife, because beyond question, that lady has my heart. That lady. And in the model of Christ, I will never leave her or forsake her. My lady, your husband loves you and wants you back.